Swinging spells down the street, same old decks we played last week. It's MTG in quarantine. We're all alright, we're all alright. The MTG in Quarantine Podcast. Heyo, what is up, everybody? My name is MJ, and you are listening to the one and only MTG in Quarantine Podcast, where the motto is EDH, community, now and always. As usual, before we get started, I'd like to give a quick shout out to my local game store, Guardian Games. Find them on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity to give a huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine. So huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Bents, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, and Coach J-Row for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine for more information. And again, I am pleased to announce that I am an official brand ambassador for Quiver Time. So if you want to go pick up your very own Quiver Time case, they are really amazing. They fit, at least I find that they can fit up 6 to 7 unsleeved decks, or if you want yours in a deck box, they can fit, I believe, 4 or 5 different decks in a box, so in a regular Quiver case. So yeah, if you're interested in getting that, one of the amazing Bolt cases, which is the Quiver case just in miniature size, or any of the Quiver Time products, you can utilize my reference code, which will be in the episode description below or on my link tree, one or the other, and you can utilize that code to pick up your Quiver Time products, and every purchase there helps support me. So definitely go on over, do what you're going to do anyway, buy Quiver Time products, and help support the channel while you're at it. Also, you can pick up your very own MTG in Quarantine branded playmat over at Inked Gaming, as I-N-K-E-D, gaming.com. Got 2 really awesome versions, both the full color logo as well as the grayscale version. They both look killer, and you're going to want one for you and all of your friends. So again, you can go on over to Inked Gaming, that's I-N-K-E-D, gaming.com. Search MTG in Quarantine, use the affiliate code in my link tree to help support the channel. Everything is greatly appreciated. All right, it's that time of the year again. It is time for the Mark Rosewater Tumblr post, where he gives some hints on the new Lost Caverns of Ixalan set. Obviously, I have read the brand new story, but I will try not to spoil any of that while I'm going through these teaser points. So typically how I do this is I just take a look at the Tumblr post. I kind of just talk a bit about various concepts, various cards from each section here, and then just kind of give my take on what I think we're going to see here. So, anyway, we're going to start off with the first section here, and some things we can expect, and we're going to be seeing a new land subtype. So I guess that this is technically not going to be much of a surprise. Obviously, most lands just say land on them, obviously, but back when we were on Amonkhet, we did see the desert subtype, so it wouldn't surprise me if we started seeing something, I guess, kind of like, I don't know, mine or cave, maybe. Because obviously this set revolves around the Lost Caverns of Ixalan, so everything is underground in theory. And it'd be really cool to have some kind of cave mechanic, just like we had in the Amonkhet block where we had the desert mechanic. So that means having cards that specifically care about, let's just say, cave cards, right? That there's going to be some kind of boost for various cards. You know, I was just digging through my bulk box recently. I found Ramen Up Hydra from Hour of Devastation, I believe. And that card got +1/+1 for every desert you controlled, as well as +1/+1 if you control a desert. You got +1/+1 if you have a desert in your graveyard. So you could end up with a 5/5 Hydra there, if you had those two prerequisites met. And I'm going to assume that this is probably going to be somewhat similar. I doubt these cards are probably going to really make it in the big time for most formats. It's probably just for limited, but So it'd be kind of cool to see a new land subtype. And if it was, let's say, a cave or a cavern or something, how that would affect the red card Forgotten Cave, which is a cycling land. I wonder if that would be errated to potentially become one of these types later on. So something we'll definitely see. It's going to be awesome. Next thing we're going to be seeing is a new mechanic representing crafting. So I'm not much of a video game player. I'm not huge into crafting, but the fact that we can have a mechanic representing building something from scratch would actually be really cool. Not exactly how sure how that would work. Would this be kind of like the level up mechanic like we had from, I believe, was it original Zendikar? I think? I'm probably wrong on that one. Some kind of level, yeah, either level up mechanic or one of the cards where they get progressively larger the more mana you sink into them. I don't know. So would this technically make that deciduous, make that something we're going to be seeing on more cards where the more mana you pump into them, the more powerful that card gets? I don't know. Just seems like the kind of thing where you may have some room to play around with that. Or if we're talking about crafting, the idea being that you always need a recipe in order to craft something. So maybe you need a prerequisite of multiple card types, or maybe you need tokens of certain kinds. I don't know. We'll see. Next thing we're going to see is, ooh, a new ability word that cares about what is in your graveyard. So obviously back in the Shadows block, Shadows over Innistrad, we had the Delirium mechanic, which cared about having multiple card types in your graveyard, and specifically wanting four or more different card types in your graveyard. We had Threshold before that, which as long as you had seven or more cards in your graveyard, you got some sort of ability. So a new ability that cares about what is in your graveyard. I'm not exactly sure exactly what they're going to do with this, because it feels like if you care about the card types, if you care about the number of cards in your graveyard, I'm not really sure what more you could care about. Unless maybe it cares about the number of creature cards in your graveyard, or the number of a certain kind of card in your graveyard. Obviously, we're not going to be going back to the days where we care about the order of cards in your graveyard. That was obviously extremely confusing and makes for a really, really difficult time if you're trying to pull off some of those things. But I know a lot of graveyard players who probably love to see what this is, and I'll probably hope that this is going to be something that we're going to be seeing for a long time to come. Yeah, a lot of graveyard people love doing graveyard things, and any kind of ability that messes with the graveyard, you know, a lot of people are going to want to play. And then we have some different counters in the set. I'm just going to read them out here. We have a Boar counter, Chorus counter, Dread, Finality, Landmark, Lore, Net, Point, Stun, and Time. And then semicolon, one of which is a new Deciduous counter. So when I first looked at this, I was thinking it'd be really funny if the Boar counter was actually just someone being super bored about something, but I think it's more just, it's going to be a mind reference, obviously. We've seen a few of these counters before. I mean, we've seen stun counters, time counters are kind of like suspend counters, and point counters, I believe, off Strixhaven Stadium. I think out of the deciduous counters, stun counters will probably be the new deciduous one here, because we've obviously seen stun counters before. I think we had those even just in the Eldraine set that just released, too. And I think it would make sense for this to be a new deciduous time counter, because the fact that you can force something to, you know, basically be stunned, basically not untap during its owner's untap step, the sleep effect, effectively. And having this codified into a counter definitely makes sense, especially because people love to manipulate counters. And being able to throw these sorts of counters around would honestly make sense, because it's a very fundamental part of Magic. And obviously everything untaps during the untap step. A stun counter says no, the fundamental part of the game, you're not going to do that because of this extra mechanic. So I think that's really what makes sense to me. The rest of these honestly don't seem like the kind of thing we're going to be seeing too much outside the set. They're probably mostly for limited. I mean, think about a finality counter or a dread counter. I mean, how many sets are we going to have where a dread counter might be effective? And yes, I know that there are various sets coming up that are going to be dealing with dark subject matters, a horror genre, but I just can't help but feel like a lot of these are going to end up just being set-specific, and obviously we see a lot of those set-specific counters. I mean, think about Ikoria, where pretty much all of those cards that had new counters on them, the ability counters, you haven't seen a single card printed since then, or, you know, basically printed since then, that has a counter like that that you can put on a creature. So I'm going to assume most of these are going to be limited counters, and we're probably never going to see the vast majority of them again, and if we do, it's not going to be overly common, I would say. And then obviously we got some interesting comments on the creature tokens here. Obviously, having read the story, a lot of these make sense, so I'm not going to go into that. So if you haven't read the story, definitely go on over to the Mothership and read that. So we're going to talk about the rules text that shows up on cards. So the first one we have is here is, as an additional cost to cast the spell, tap 4 untapped artifacts, creatures, and or land you control. So I always think of this as kind of the Lightning Axe caveat here. Lightning Axe obviously being an instant for one red, saying as additional cost to cast a spell, either pay 5 generic mana or discard a card, and you can do 5 damage to target creature. And I look at this as a way that you're able to keep the CMC down, but you have to put in extra value. This is the kind of thing you're going to be seeing in, honestly, a lot of draft type commons. And I'm going to assume it's going to be very similar to Lightning Axe in some way. Obviously not sure what the card is exactly going to do, but it definitely feels like a draft common where it's going to cost 1 mana of one of the colors, and it's going to do some, you know, decent effect, but the fact you have to jump through so many hoops to do so kind of tells me that it's not going to be the thing that we're going to be talking about as the next busted, quote-unquote busted card from the set. Especially, but the nice thing is you do get a chance to choose whether you want to tap land, creatures, or artifacts. And obviously there's a ton of all of those in the game, so maybe it's not as much of a downside, but if Lightning Axe, you can just discard a card to do the 5 damage plus pay 1 mana, I have a feeling that this is not going to be anywhere near as powerful as that. So not really holding out a ton of hope on this one. I could be wrong, but could definitely be wrong on that one. Let's see. Obviously, until end of turn, target artifact or creature becomes a dinosaur. This is Ixalan. There's dinosaurs. we're going to have a lot of dinosaur support in this set. So that really doesn't surprise me. This sounds like some kind of threatened effect. So where you typically steal someone's creature, gives it haste until end of turn, and then, you know, returns to their control at the end step. This sounds directly like one of those cards where, you know, you steal someone's creature, it becomes a dinosaur because there are some dinosaur payoffs in the set, then it returns to its normal state at the end step. So I'm going to assume this is probably going to be a threatened effect for 3 in a red or 4 in a red, and it can be an uncommon sorcery. Let's see. Whenever you're dealt combat damage, the attacking player gains control of card name and untaps it. Ah, this is the Lotus card. I'm trying to remember the Forbidden Jewel, I think. Coveted Jewel, sorry. And it's exactly like that. So Coveted Jewel is a 6-cost artifact, which gives you 3 mana when you tap it, and when you get hit with combat damage, another player gains control of that card. So this sounds exactly like Coveted Jewel. Maybe we're going to see a reprint of Coveted Jewel. Who knows? But it'd be kind of cool to have a second version of that, and I know that there's some folks out there who would love to have that kind of card in the game, because Coveted Jewel, despite it costing 6, is actually kind of an interesting, it's kind of like Monarch, honestly, in EDH, if you think about it. Because it forces people to want to attack you to gain some sort of incremental advantage. Oh, yeah, you draw 3 cards when you gain control of it. So the Coveted Jewel really is coveted. And again, while I doubt we're going to see a reprint of Coveted Jewel, it'd be really cool to have something else like that. Maybe not something giving you 3 mana and 3 cards when you get the card, but maybe we'll get a scaled down version. Obviously, we're still getting versions of Black Lotus now 30 years after the fact. So maybe we'll have something like it costs 2 and you draw a card and you get 1 mana of any color. I don't know. So we will see on that one. Next one, we have Equip, pay 3 or discard a card. these are my favorite kind of equipments. I love alternate costs on equipments, and this sounds like a common, honestly, because paying 3 generic mana is kind of a steep equip cost for some of the best equipment, but being able to discard a card seems like a very minimal downside. So I'm going to assume we're going to see a common, maybe an uncommon, probably like +2/+0 or something, some kind of sword or Marauder's Axe or something like that, which would make sense because we probably will have some pirates in this set. Let's see. Whenever you cast a permanent spell using mana produced by card name, up to one other target permanent you control becomes a copy of that spell until end of turn. That's interesting. This seems like a very funky clone-type spell. Probably, well, obviously it's going to be a blue card. Huh. You could definitely do a lot of funky things with this. Yeah, yeah. Maybe a mana rock, maybe a convoke creature, I'm not sure. I'm probably going to be an uncommon? Might be a rare. It'll be interesting to see exactly how they do a clone in this set, given the fact that we don't necessarily have a ton of clone support in the previous Ixalan blocks, so I'm not sure what they're going to do with this, but seems interesting. This is definitely a card to keep you an eye on. And then obviously the one that people are talking about online all the time, when there are 1,000 or more time counters on card name, sacrifice it, and each opponent loses 1,000 life. So we have Helix Pentacle, which if you get 100 counters on it, you win the game. And this seems kind of in the same vein. Ha ha ha, bad mind joke there. But you can sacrifice and each opponent loses 1,000 life. It's just like a really big version of the Aetherflux Reservoir in a way. But we'll see exactly how this works and how it fits into the story. I'm curious to know how this is going to work. It's obviously going to be a rare or a mythic rare. It's obviously going to have ways to be able to put counters on it. We will see exactly what that entails. All right, then we have some creature type lines from the set. Wonder what a dinosaur gnome is going to be. Some artifact creature. Is this something Seeley's been building? I don't know. Seems curious. We have a capybara creature, which if you know what a capybara is, they're interesting creatures, I'll just say that much. Looks like we're going to have a legendary creature as a skeleton spirit pirate. I'm not exactly sure how that's going to work. Probably a new character, I'm going to assume. We shall see. We're going to have a Nautilus for an artifact creature. Very interesting. Very interesting creature right there, which I guess makes sense. A fungus snail. Huh. That'll be interesting. And a dinosaur skeleton horror. I think we might have seen art for that, so we'll definitely have to see. Last time we really saw a dinosaur skeleton horror, we got Rotting Regisaur. So, wonder if this will be anything like that. Because obviously having a 7/6 that forces you to discard a card at the beginning of your upkeep, who it costs only 2 and a black, is pretty nice. And then we have some named cards in the set to finish things out. Careening Minecart, Chupacabra Echo. That sounds interesting. Obviously, since this is a very Mesoamerican set, the idea of the mythical Chupacabra, it seems very, very cool. Eaten by Piranhas. Now, that's one of the most Ixalan-sounding cards we've had in the set. And Pirate Hat. Honestly, I love that kind of common-sounding equipment where it's, like, probably going to give your creature, you know, +1/+0, equip 2, pay 3 mana, you know. Yeah, give your creature +1/+0 or +1/+1 and make it a pirate. Just the kind of silly draft common that is just so flavorful, you're going to love it. So anyway, that is my quick look at the Lost Caverns of Ixalan, Tumblr post from Mark Rosewater himself. Obviously, a lot of people are super excited about this set. I've already read the story. If you want to go read that for yourself, it's all available over on the Mothership website at magicthegathering.com/story. And this is not necessarily going to be a return to what we saw in the last Ixalan block. Some things have changed, but the characters really haven't. So that's all I'm really going to say about the story, but there's still going to be dinosaurs, pirates, vampires, merfolk, and again, more dinosaurs. So yeah, it's gonna feel like Ixalan, but in a way they're going on to a different story. I'm not exactly sure what they're building up to. Again, I'm not gonna spoil the story for anyone who hasn't gone and checked that over there. But yeah, this should be an interesting set. A lot of people are excited, and we'll definitely see what comes when the previews start here real soon. Alright, now that I finished the episode, I want to give another huge shout-out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/mtgandquarantine. Huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Bence, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, and Coach J-Row for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtgandquarantine for more information. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.